W.E.B. Du Bois was one of the most important African-American activists during the first half of the 20th century. He co-founded the NAACP, supported Pan-Africanism, and was the first African-American to earn a Ph.D. from Harvard University. Du Bois was born in Great Barrington, Massachusetts, 150 years ago this month, and Great Barrington's Du Bois anniversary celebration began on January 15th and continues throughout this year. Here to tell us more, we welcome Dennis Powell, president of the Berkshire County branch of the NAACP. Dennis, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Joe.
A member of the steering committee in Du Bois lecture series, Professor Dr. Whitney Battle Baptiste, thank you very much for being here as well.
Thank you.
Associate professor of anthropology and director of the Du Bois Library at UMass Amherst.
Du Bois Center.
Of the Du Bois Center. All right. Excellent. Thank you. Ted Thomas is here. Ted, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you very much for being with us. And we also have Barbara Dean, a musician, performer, and radio DJ who has worked on Du Bois issues and promotion in Great Barrington for about three decades. Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you.
Welcome all. All right. So let us begin with you, Dennis, of how this whole celebration came to be and how do you celebrate such a thing?
You recognize what a great human being actually lived in Great Barrington, Massachusetts. That has been, we sort of refer to him as the forgotten son, and truly was just that. And so we celebrate his genius through writing, speeches, the contribution that he made back then that clearly is so important to today's climate that we find ourselves in.
When you look at that climate, how do you think commemorations like this help us of understand where we've been, where we are, and ultimately where we're going?
Well, I think at first it's about history. So you can't go forward if you haven't been backwards. And I mean that in the most sincere way, because the only way to be able to understand where we're at now, you really have to understand history. And that's what recognizing his legacy and being able to understand who this individual was and why he was so important and the contribution he made to America.
So who wants to handle the question of what will be going on over the next several days?
Well, I could do that because I have a flyer right in front of me.
There you go. You're perfect. That's perfect.
Right. We just finished having a wonderful musical tribute last Sunday with five amazing local performers, and we got great applause for that, and I was very pleased with the way that came out. On the 18th, there will be Du Bois Reflections with Macedonia Baptist Church, who has been quite involved for many years in Du Bois celebrations. Multicultural Bridge, who has been working with the town to have, you know, a month-long celebration, and we hope going beyond. In fact, it will go beyond the month of February. That's from 11 to 3. There'll be a legacy walk, and there's a lot to see at the Du Bois Boyhood Home site. I hope Whitney will address the fact that UMass Amherst is the kind of overseer of that site and developer of that site in Egremont. Family gravesite walk. Du Bois himself is buried in Ghana, of course, but his first wife, Nina, his baby boy, Burkhart, his daughter, Yolanda, is actually buried right in Great Barrington. And those are amazing sights to see. There'll be a prayer vigil from 4 to 5. That's on the 18th. On the 19th, we're having a movie screening called Du Bois and Four Voices. This is a movie made many years ago. One of the people who made it was Dr. Wesley Brown of Simon's Rock College. That's going to be wonderful. That's from 7 to 10 p.m. And then, of course, we get to the actual 150th birthday of W.B. Du Bois on February 23rd. And from 1 to 3, there'll be a couple of wonderful lectures by the amazing biographer of Du Bois, Dr. David Levering Lewis. He's talking about sounding the trumpet, celebrating W.E.B. Du Bois. I'm sorry, that's from Cornell Brooks, former president of the NAACP. He's doing Sounding the Trumpet, celebrating W.E.B. Du Bois. Dr. Lewis's lecture is called Prologue to Greatness. And then the great jazz trombonist Craig Harris will be doing a musical tribute, The Soul Within. From 3 to 7 on that day, there'll be a festival walk. So we have murals, as Whitney referred to. The Railroad Street Youth Project has done 3 beautiful murals. There's a Mason Library exhibit of incredible posters and artifacts. And a Great Barrington Historical Society art exhibit, and the Du Bois Center of Great Barrington, run by Randy Weinstein, that has incredible African-American historical and literature memorabilia. And again, the family gravesite. And then from 7 to 9, the gala, which will take place at the Mahewi Performing Arts Center, 14 Castle Street in Great Barrington. That's from 7 to 9. We'll have some amazing spoken word, and Ted can address that, because he's been working for many, many months with high school students on their spoken word performances. And it's called the Du Bois Youth Ensemble. I love that name. And we're actually having a dance dedicated to Dr. Du Bois. And Guy Davis, who is the son of Ossie Davis and Ruby Dee, is coming. He is an extraordinary blues musician, was just nominated for a Grammy. But his father, Ossie, was the MC of the 1969 dedication in Egremont. We'll show a short film of that, and Guy will be hopefully speaking a little bit about his very activist parents and what he remembers, and also doing a performance. And then Dr. Raylan Rabaka, and here is where Whitney again can fill us in, talking about W.B. Du Bois and the emergence of the civil rights movement.
All right, so a lot going on. There is a wonderful website, Du Bois 150th, which you can find out more, DuBois150th.com.
Exactly.
So, Ted, let us go to you first, and then we'll go to Whitney. But, Ted, as a poet and teacher, as was just mentioned, you were going to be leading this Du Bois Youth Ensemble. What has gone into that, and what ultimately do you think people will get out of this experience?
Well, what has gone into it in the past is the introduction to young students, high school students, to great literature of African Americans. So we've looked at and read from Maya Angelou, classical as well as contemporary poetry. We've looked at Natasha Threadaway. We looked at Nikki Giovanni. We read from a number of those poets. And the whole point of it is to introduce, as I mentioned, them to a literature, poetry that speaks to African-American heritage in literature and the importance of hearing those voices. And I want to point out that it's not just hearing and reading these poets, but actually what we do is a combination of spoken word and poetry out loud. The spoken word part comes in when they speak the poetry, but poetry out loud is also reading these poets and then getting a sense of what the poet is trying to say, and then reading that out loud. It's a movement that started a few years back with English teachers who wanted to introduce their students to great poetry and how to read that. My wonderful job is to work with high school students from these 3 high schools.
It's a great job.
It's a great job. It's a wonderful job. It's not even a job. It's an experience. It's a blessing, really. Pittsfield High School, Monument, Mountain High School, and Taconic High School. And we bring them together, and they sort of form this group, W.B. Du Bois Youth Ensemble. And for each of the lectures that happen, we sort of formulate and design a program that sort of reflects the message that the lecturer will be presenting. And they read. And for them, it's a wonderful experience in terms of learning about poetry, reading poetry, speaking aloud before audiences. And I love them. And hopefully that's what they feel about me. Who knows?
I'm sure they do. I'm sure they do. Professor Dr. Whitney Battle-Baptiste is Associate Professor of Anthropology and an archaeologist and director of the Du Bois Library at UMass Amherst. As mentioned, you will be at the event on the 23rd at the birthday celebration from 7 to 9, speaking, being one of the lecturers, as well as the other events that you'll be taking part in. What do you think the main message is to get out?
we need to remember Du Bois not as someone that's just someone who lived in the past. He's a son of Massachusetts, but he's a son of Great Barrington. And there have been struggles to acknowledge not only his birth, but the significance of his work, his legacy. And I think that his legacy actually is directly tied to things like environmental injustice, universal health care, police brutality, believe it or not, actual things that we are class inequality. And a lot of the things that he talked about, 50, 60, 70 years ago is very timely and important right now in this moment. And a lot of these events, even though it was 150 years ago when he was born, a lot of these events actually are speaking to the legacy of Du Bois to a new generation. Folks that may not know the importance and the significance of the publishing of The Souls of Black Folk, which was a very controversial book in 1903. Now it's not so much, but how many people that walk around in the United States actually have read it or know about W.B. Du Bois? And we have a 26-story library at UMass Amherst that is named for Du Bois. And many of our students who come onto our campus don't know why it's named it, don't know what the controversy about, why it was controversial that it was named for someone that's a son of Massachusetts. And he's not in the curriculum. He's not in kind of our, we know Martin Luther King. We don't know Du Bois. And so this is a moment to understand that he was more than just the architect of civil rights. He was about equal distribution of wealth, which some people would call communism. But also, what does that mean when he was talking about that in the 1940s and 50s? And what does that mean in 2018? So I think that this is bringing it to a whole new generation in a way that everyone, young scholars, folks like me who are not so young scholars, older scholars are all engaging with Du Bois in a with a renewed spirit. And it's 150 years and it's time to celebrate him.
So put this in context, because what you just said to me struck rang a lot of bells. So how do you ultimately put it into a context of all of the other events that we've seen in our history, and be able to slide Du Bois into there and say, okay, this helps make this a clearer picture?
That's a large question. I think that the fact that
I understand the importance of it. What I'm interested in, though, is that in events like this, that does, as you say, people are coming to this perhaps without the understanding of Du Bois. Do they have the context going into it as well of what else has happened, or do you sort of have to tell the whole story?
I think that it's twofold, because I think you do have to tell the whole story, but I feel like there's a lot of influences in the way that we interact with each other that are based on Du Bois that we don't credit to him or we don't understand.
Right.
So that,
that's what I mean by the context. So of putting all of those things, oh, the reason we do this is because of that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, he wanted to do a march on Washington like in 1915, you know, he proposed.
Yes.
We don't, a lot, I could have the dates wrong, that's why I left history and went to archaeology, but, you know,
it's okay.
It's good.
All right.
I'm sorry somebody will write in and tell the exact date, but it's fine. But to understand, you know, to call him the architect of civil rights is one thing, but to understand that he was born 3 years after the Emancipation Proclamation and died on the eve of the March on Washington. Mm-hmm. So I think that long life that he led, he changed his mind a lot. He did a lot of, you know, things that he, you know, that were very influential. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I think that we have to kind of place him back into the conversation about not just Black history, but American history.
Yes,
that's right.
So, and Dennis, I'll end with you as we wrap up. We have this conversation, these events, and what do you ultimately hope people get out of it in the sense of how do we move on from the celebration and move forward and try to make things better?
I think it really helps us to create the conversation. I mean, without the conversation, you can't move forward. Things can't get better. Conversation, especially around civil rights and human rights is a difficult conversation because America was ugly. It was ugly the way human beings were treated, and it's hard to have that discussion. And we see it a lot now. I mean, we see it with, you know, in Massachusetts, we just changed Columbus Day to the Indigenous People Day. And that created, some people were very pleased that we finally are willing to speak truth to history. And some people, not knowing the history, of course, opposed it. So I think all of this that's going on today really brings out the conversation. And where I see the real benefit is in our youth.
Right.
Because the youth are having the conversation. They're the future. I always tell people I'm checking out. I just don't have a date. But
that applies to us all, I believe.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I think it's, yeah. To be determined.
Right, exactly. Right. But for them, their voices are very important, and they are the ones that are really looking at history and willing to have these discussions. And the colleges also are realizing that they've got to come out of their shell and get out into the community. And we're seeing so much of this in the Berkshires now.
Let the record show that Ted is nodding very emphatically in agreement to this. So,
exactly.
As someone who works with youth.
To learn about Great Barrington's Du Bois 150th Festival, you can visit dubois150th.com. That link will be posted along with this interview at wamc.org/roundtable. A lot of great events going on. You can find out the entire schedule by going to dubois150th.com.
And can I just say that if you'd like to come to February 23rd at the Mahewi in Great Barrington, go to www.mahewi.org, M-A-H-A-I-W-E, and reserve your free tickets. They're free, but they do need to be reserved.
All right. Dennis Powell, Dr. Whitney Battle-Baptiste, Ted Thomas, and Barbara Dean, thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you.
Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.